2 Kings chapter 5. I want to begin reading today at verse number 11. Verse number 11. The Bible says, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana, Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel, waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went out in rage. I want you to notice especially verse number 11. The Bible says, "Behold, I thought." That's going to be literally our thought today, is the words, "Behold, I thought." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that is ours, and it is a privilege to be able to be here today in the house of God and to be able to open the Scriptures again and to be able to look at what thus saith the Lord. And our Father, today, the host of many prayer requests, the things that are going on in the lives of our people, we ask you, Lord, to bless and to touch and to help and to encourage, and Lord, do what only you can do. Then I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, especially for the greatest need of any mortal man, the need of salvation. If there's someone here today without Jesus Christ, I pray today the Spirit of God would do his work in their heart and life. Thank you for the good song service. Thank you for every aspect of the service we've already enjoyed, the Sunday school hour. Now bless us now today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Naaman said, "Behold, I thought." You know, it's great when people give thought. It's certainly very important. We ought to be thoughtful people. We ought to spend time thinking, meditating, pondering, considering things in life that matter. But we must always remember, though, that our thought life, unless it's guided and directed by truth, can be perilous. Amen. It's important to think, but it's more important to think right. Naaman was giving some thought, but his thought was flawed. Naaman's thinking was not in keeping with truth. You know the story of Naaman. Interestingly enough, he was captain of the Syrian host. Syria, of course, been on the news this week. But Naaman was captain of the Syrian host. Naaman was a very important military person. Naaman was a mighty man of valor. Naaman was the go-to man that the king of Syria depended on. But Naaman had a flaw. His flaw was he had leprosy. Then we know the account. Of course, I'm not taking the time to read the entire account today for the sake of time. But Naaman was sent to go to see a prophet by the name of Elisha. And a little Jewish girl had been brought away captive by the Syrians. And that little Jewish girl cared about her master. She knew of the man who was a prophet named Elisha. And her thinking was, if my master can see the prophet, the man of God, that he can be cured, he can be healed of his leprosy. But Naaman makes a major mistake. And I'll cover that in just a few moments. He goes to the wrong place to start with. He goes to the king of Israel. His instruction was not to go to the king of Israel, but to go to see the prophet. He makes a mistake right off the bat. Then, when he shows up at the door of Elisha, Elisha didn't personally go to the door and meet him and speak with him. Elisha sent a servant. I suppose that would be somewhat of an insult in that day and time to someone in that position to not be dealt with directly based upon his authority, based upon who he was. But the man really needed a good lesson on humility, though. And more importantly, the man needed a lesson on truth. And so, the prophet said, dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and the leprosy will be cured. And so the captain, he shows his thinking is wrong. He said, what about the 2 rivers down in Damascus? They're a lot cleaner. They're a lot purer. And so his idea was, I thought. His thinking was not in keeping with truth. The only way he could be cured, he could be healed, was to do exactly what the man of God was telling him to do. And by the way, nothing in the Bible is missed. There's nothing out of order. It is significant. He's told to dip in the River Jordan, and it's also significant he was told to dip 7 times. Nothing is wasted in Scripture. Truths are in order. Don't have time to develop that, but anyway, that was the only way he could be cured, was to do exactly what he was told. You know, his thinking was impaired. I heard of an illustration back there a few years ago of a man in New York City. There was a pretzel stand. If you've ever been to New York City, there's all kinds of pretzel stands. And this man goes to the pretzel stand every morning, drops a quarter on the table, and walks away without taking a pretzel. He had that custom. Every day he'd do that. Go up to the pretzel stand, drop a quarter down, and walk off and not take a pretzel. So finally one morning, he walks up, puts the quarter down, and the attendant of the pretzel stand pulls him aside. And it has something to say to him. He looks at her. He said, oh, no. He said, oh, I know. He says, you're going to ask me why I don't take a pretzel. She said, no. She said, I was just wanting you to know that the price of them now are 35 cents. So, I guess what I'm trying to do is illustrate my point here. Sometimes people's thinking doesn't make sense. I'd give the lady more credit in her thinking than the man, wouldn't you? But let's go back to our point here. I thought. My friend, your thoughts and my thoughts are not worth a plugged nickel unless they're right. People's thoughts can get them into trouble. Wrong thinking can send people to hell. There's many people. They go to hell as thoughtful people. It's not that they haven't thought and pondered and considered. But the point is, their thoughts are not in keeping with the truth. Naaman's thinking is wrong. He was flawed in his thoughts. We could say this morning he was flawed in his thoughts concerning a person that he was to see. He was told to go and see the prophet, but he shows up at the door of the king of Israel, the person. His thoughts were wrong concerning a price. He carries money that would be somewhere around about $500,000 if you break it down in today's monetary today's money compared to what he carried in those days. The silvers, the pieces of silver, the various things that he took, somewhere around about $500,000 he took in the effort to purchase the healing. But he was wrong in the matter of a price. I like to say today that it's by grace that people are saved. I like to say today there's no price tag on salvation. We can't buy or barter it. It's free. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. People cannot buy salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Multitudes of people today are trying to purchase salvation through works, through effort, through merit, through religion. But it doesn't work that way. Naaman was flawed concerning the person that he was to see. He was flawed concerning the price that he felt he had to give. His thinking was flawed concerning the procedure. Procedure. The procedure that he uses is the words, I thought. I thought. He would be okay if the prophet would say, that's okay. River Pharpar is okay. Go on down and consider one of those two rivers in Damascus. That's okay. He'd have been okay with that. But that was not the procedure that God intended. His thinking was wrong concerning a person, concerning a price, concerning a procedure, and concerning a place. A place. The Jordan River was a place. That's where the prophet said go. He was off concerning a place, and then he was confused. His thinking was flawed concerning the provision. Nothing short of dipping seven times would result in his being cured. Seven times. He goes down one time, comes up, he's still a leper. He goes down the second time, comes up, he's still a leper. He can dip six times. And if he stops short of the seventh, he's still a leper. Let me say today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Let me say, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Let me say today, by grace through faith are we saved. The provision has to be right. Today, as I stand here preaching, there's a lot of churches that are open. Preachers are standing in pulpits. And sermons are being delivered. But I wished I could stand here and say, but I'm not that naive. Somebody said I was born at night, but not last night. I'm not that naive. It would be a wonderful thing today if every preacher standing in a pulpit would preach from the Bible. It would be a wonderful thing today if every preacher preaching from the pulpit would say, the blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanses from sin. It would be a wonderful thing today if people would point to the blood, the blessed hope, and remind people today, only through the merits of Christ's finished work can a person be saved by God's grace. But that's not what's happening. There are multitudes of preachers today who are taking a text and departing thereof. They're preaching their own denominational beliefs. They're telling people, do the best you can. They're telling people, keep the law. They're telling people, try to do the best. Be a good neighbor. They're telling people, join a church. They're telling people, get baptized. They're telling people, turn over a new leaf. They're telling people that there's good in all religions, and in the end, since God's a God of love, God will send no one to hell. People are preachers, so-called preachers, are literally preaching that. I'm convinced, as I stand here this morning, that in some churches, if the preacher in the pulpit ever even used the word hell, half the people would faint. That's a forgotten word. But the plain truth of the matter is, Jesus loves sinners. Christ died for sinners. There is a blessed place called heaven, but there's a terrible place called hell. And the only way to miss hell and go to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. But would to God more pulpits were spreading that truth. But one day, the day of reckoning will come and all false prophets will answer to God for leading people astray. But Naaman said, I thought. I thought. There was a time in my life that my thoughts collided against what God says. There was a time in my life where my thoughts weren't even close to being what the Bible said. There was a time that my thoughts were in contrast to Scriptures. Just like many people today. There could be someone this morning in this church service. You're pitting your thoughts against God's Word. You're justifying yourself. You're saying, I'll choose the two rivers of my choice. It doesn't make sense to go to the muddy Jordan. It doesn't make sense to dip seven times. It's your thoughts against God's thoughts. I can only say to you, in light of time and in light of eternity, square your thoughts with what God says. The most precarious, dangerous position to be in is to be lost and sitting in a church and hearing a gospel sermon and still saying your thoughts are more important than what God says, like I'm going to take my chance a little bit longer. I'm going to forego this decision. I'm going to procrastinate. I'm going to put off. I know I have leprosy, and I know it needs to be cleansed, but it's my way or no way. And that attitude will get you to hell. I thought. Let's talk about the man just a moment. The man who said, I thought. He was a captain. He was a conqueror. But he was a castaway. Leprosy had separated him from the people. Leprosy was a terrible disease. Leprosy would kill you. Leprosy would cause a person to be isolated and placed in a leper camp. Lepers of that day had to carry a veil over their mouth and they had to cry unclean, unclean. They had to be identified as such. No one would go near to a leper. Leprosy is like sin. It would eat away. It would consume the body. But now, of course, there's medical treatments where leprosy can be treated, but not so in those days. The man, a captain, a mighty man, but separated. His position would be comparable to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was that important in the military arena. He had the respect of the Syrian king. He's called a mighty man of valor. He knew his business. He knew how to fight. He knew how to conquer. But at the same time, he was being conquered. He was being destroyed. His life was heading towards death, the man. Then you notice, secondly, the misery. He was a leper. Again, there's no point to try to describe what leprosy would do, but it was a miserable situation. He had the might, he had the dignity, but it had a major flaw. Interestingly enough, when the Bible talks about him, it mentions, though, but he was a leper. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. That's kind of like a fly landing on the top of a lemon meringue pie. But he was a leper. I mean, look at his resume. Look at his track record. Look at how big he was. Consider how powerful he was. Consider his prestige. He had the respect of the king. But he was a leper. My friend, today, you may be here. You may be a person of prestige. You may be a mighty person. You may have power and influence and money and properties in a name that's known everywhere. You may have all of those things, but until you come to Jesus Christ, you're still a sinner lost. That still does not cover your big issue. You see, the big issue is a sin issue that has to be taken care of, and nothing short of the blood of Christ can do that. But he was a leper. You're talking about a resume killer in a spiritual sense. That would have done it. But he was a leper. Now, note something else here. We see the man. See the misery. But I love to think about the maid, though. The little maid. You know, I didn't take the time to read about the little maid. But there's a sermon all in itself talking about the little maid. In fact, maybe it wouldn't hurt to read it. All right, look at verse 2. It says the Syrians had gone away by companies, had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. The little maid. She's carried away captive from Israel. She's carried into Syria. But oh, what a pleasing quality this little maid has. She's not embittered. She's not grudgeful. She's not bearing spite. She's not saying to herself, I don't deserve this. What have I done to deserve this? No, no. You can't read that in Scripture at all. She has no issues apart from being a captive in a foreign land, but she's certainly not embittered. What a pleasing quality when people will keep a good heart and keep a good attitude and keep a sweet spirit and not become bitter, embittered by circumstances. What a blessing when people go through things in life but still keep a sweet spirit about them. What a blessing. I know many, many people like that, and I know you have. Well, you'd never know they even had troubles because they still got a smile and they still are kind and they're not bearing any grudges. They still, in other words, their Christianity is working in the valley like it worked on the mountain. Their Christianity is working when it's a cloudy, rainy day, just like when it's sunny. Thank God today for Christians that are consistent in spite of what they're going through. The little maid. Bible says she was a little maid. A little maid. There's much to be said about that. A little maid. That reminds me of truths, of principles. That reminds me of great biblical principles. A little maid. Oh, think about it. How many times down through the years and through the pages of Scripture, do we see God using little things? In fact, as a general rule, we see God more often using little things than big things. Because little is much when God's in it. But God uses little things. You know, when we get prideful and puffed up, God can't use us. It's the little maid. It's the little thing. One time, there was a lot going on in the land of Egypt. And God had His hand on a man that He'd one day raise up to be a leader for Israel and lead Israel out of Egypt. And that man was Moses. And I believe this happened. I believe that when Pharaoh's daughter came down to the banks of the Nile and looked at that little baby and saw perhaps a tear on that baby's eye, I believe that Pharaoh's daughter says, that's what I need to see. The next thing you know, Moses is being taken care of in a royal place. God, I believe, used a little tear to save a man and to lead a nation out of Egypt. I think of an account found in the New Testament. Jesus one day has been teaching multitudes of people. And Jesus sees they're hungry. And Jesus is going to feed them. Jesus sends out a few of his disciples to recon. One of them goes out and looks around. He comes back and he says, I don't see a whole lot of people that brought food to bear. But there's a little lad that has a little lunch. But what is it among so many? You know the rest of the story. That little lad is escorted to Jesus Christ. That little lad stands in the presence of the mighty God. And I can see it in my mind. That little lad takes that little mini lunch in his hand and places his hand in the hand of Almighty God, who is the person of Jesus Christ. I can see his tiny, puny hand being stretched out and placed in the hands of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, my friend, things picked up. Business picked up then, didn't he? God multiplied and fed the multitude of people. And there was so much food left over, all the disciples went home with food to spare. God used a little tear one day to save a man and to save a nation. And God used a little lunch one day to feed a crowd, to feed a crowd. And oh, we could go a lot further with this. I believe that same man that I talked about earlier, one day, this man would lead Israel through the wilderness. They would come to the sea. Let's go back a step further. God looked at that man and said, "What's that in your hand?" He said, "It's a rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." And he did. It became a serpent. He said, "Pick it up again." It became the rod. And that same little rod, God used it to part the sea. That same little rod God used many times. I'm saying today God uses little things. Here's a little maid in a strange country, but her heart's right. She was small, but she had a big God, I believe. She knew that her master was worse captive than what she was. She was captive in a strange land, but this little maid, I think, had some foresight, had some spiritual discernment to believe that her master was worse captive than she was. He was a captive to a killing disease. Little maid, don't decry the day of little things. Nothing happens by accident in the lives of God's people. There was a man one day that got shipwrecked on an island. He took the time, he built a little hut. The best he could do. Built the hut. But a lightning storm came and struck the hut. And the hut burned down. And that man is thinking, everything I have, even including this hut to live in, is gone. But it just so happened, when that hut got caught on fire, as the fire blazed, the smoke went up, and a ship at sea saw the smoke and came to the shore and rescued that shipwrecked man. I'm saying today nothing happens by accident. I believe that God had placed in the land of Syria that little maid, because that little maid had a big job. That little maid had a big heart. That little maid had a big ministry. And I'm saying to every single one of you today, you may feel yourself little, then thank God you feel yourself little, because you now can be used. We see the maid. We see the man of God. I must hurry. The man of God. Elisha sent a message for him to wash in the Jordan River. Elisha, the man of God. The message for the cleansing of Naaman was not from his own thinking when he said, "I think." The message, the value of it, was seen by the fact the man of God had uttered it, and it was based on truth. The message. Then I've got to hurry and talk about the misunderstanding. And that's where we are today with the text. I thought. He said, "I thought." His thinking was flawed. His thinking was an error. You see, man's thoughts are polluted and perverted and puny and perilous. And oftentimes, they're presumptuous. Thank God this morning, I can look you in the eyes and tell you, every single one of you has a problem. It's the same problem I have. It's a problem called sin. Most of you whose eyes I'm now looking into can remember a time that that sin problem was taken care of at Calvary. Because you can remember going to the cross by faith. And you can remember God taking care of your sin debt. And there was a time in your life where your thoughts were hitting you down the broad way that leads to destruction. You were going faster than what you realized, heading towards hell. But there came a time your thoughts collided with God's truth. And you bowed down and said, Lord, that's exactly what I need, the Savior. I've been thinking wrong. I'm a sinner. And then, what happened? Why, put yourself in the shoes of Naaman. When you were willing to say yes to the Bible, yes to the truth, and yes to the standard of God's Word instead of what I think, you were willing to say what God says. In a spiritual sense, you were carried by faith to the Jordan River, and Jordan speaks of death. And oh yes, seven times. Seven in the Bible is a number of perfection. It's a number of completion. Let's say, let me apply it this way. Until you came to Jesus Christ and by faith received His cleansing, it's like you were Naaman and you went down. Let me illustrate it like this. You went down, you were dipped one time, let's call that going to church. You were dipped the second time, let's call that reformed life. You were dipped the third time, let's call that trying to keep the law. You were dipped the fourth time, let's say you were just attempting to depend on water baptism. Let's say you were dipped the fifth time, and all that's like many people will say, I've always been a good person. I've always treated people right. I've always lived a good life. And then let's say you were dipped the sixth time, and some people would say, put it like this, I've been a good hard worker. I've been a good family man. I've been a good wife. I've been a good husband. But I'm telling you, until you, by faith, said yes totally to the claims of Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior, every one of those six times, you were as much of a leper when you came out of the water as you went under. But I'll tell you, that seventh time when you got to the cross and you said yes to Jesus Christ and Jesus bore it all to Him I owe, sin hath left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. You came up and your face was like a child. You had a spring in your heel. You had a song in your heart. You had a joy like even angels don't know about it, because angels don't know the song of redemption. And now you've got a home in heaven and God's been good to you. And in your life, my friend, listen, there's nothing like taking God at His word. But you mess around with I thought and that'll get you into hell if you're not careful. But it's not I thought, but it's what thus saith the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer.